Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, no second tunic, no sandals, nor walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, wish it peace. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside the house of the town and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, amen, I say to you. It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Have a seat. Don't talk long, we'll say something. So the Mass for the day, like, might be the most generic in the book. It's just called "For Any Need." But it seems like we've got plenty of those. We've got Beth, of course. We've got at least one baby that we lost last week. I had a parishioner text me just an hour ago, a baby that came, but some concerns. And this is number 9. So she's got her hands full. We all, family, friends, ourselves, we got needs. And we need to know where to turn with them. There are two images that are offered here that I think are useful for that sort of turn of reflection. The first comes from Hosea and from the psalm, and that's the role of the face, right? So God speaking as mother playing with child, captivated by the child's face, and in the way that only a baby can be, the baby captivated by its mother, right? And then in the gospel, that which is at hand. You don't have clothes at hand. You don't have money at hand. You don't have extra resources at hand. But you do have the kingdom of God. Even that language, right? The kingdom of God is at hand for you. This is peculiar, right? It's not a turn of speech we usually use in English today. It wasn't a normal speech, a normal form of speech in ancient Hebrew or Greek either. We will still sometimes talk about items being at hand, right? Like within reach. And that is the idea. When it's used in the Old Testament especially, the whole notion of something or someone being at hand, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, the psalmist prays that to gaze on the hand of the Lord as the servant on the hand of his master, as the handmaiden on the hand of her mistress. And the double entendre works like this, right? A good servant, whether it's a butler or a server at Mass, knows to look for the finger wiggle. Like, I get tension, right? But especially the way servanthood worked in the old law, you didn't want to stand too close, or you might get smacked. So there is a genuine double-edged sword here. Now, we're not made to live in fear of getting smacked around by the Lord. The natural consequences of our sin does that by itself. But what I think is worth reflecting on here is you can't really have an encounter with a person's face, not in the deep sort of intimate way we're called to, unless you're close enough to be touched by them. That's what's going on with the baby. You know, the swaddling cords, the cords they'd use to teach the baby to walk, right? The baby's got to be close enough that mom can pull her in and catch her so she don't fall. We, whatever our wanderings, need to stay close enough to the Lord that we can still catch his face so that he can catch us even if we fall. St. John Paul II, reflecting on the Holy Eucharist, called it the encounter with the face of the Lord. The Archbishop of Canterbury, who's a person whom I have not had a great deal of respect for in a lot of his professional life, said something a couple weeks ago that stunned me. So I'm trying to give the guy credit where it's due. He has restored Eucharistic adoration to Lambeth Palace for the first time since the Reformation. The head of the First Real Protestant Church now has Eucharistic adoration back in his house. And his reflection on it is this: if I cannot encounter the Lord in the fragility of the host, then I will not be able to encounter him in the fragility of my fellows. Of course, given the turmoil here a couple weeks ago, we had to remove the Blessed Sacrament from the chapel. I'll be restoring it today, though, and this one was genuinely by accident, I forgot to bring the Luna for the adoration part of the tabernacle, so I'll bring that back next time. It's not a problem. But Jesus will be in there, and maybe that's not such a bad thing, that for just a little while, sometimes his face is hidden, so that when we need to, when we're actually close enough, we can see him and get caught.